Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertzi.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertzi, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I'm very excited about this show. We are going to discuss how to get your content featured anywhere with our guest, Aaron Orendorf. Aaron is a frequent contributor for Entrepreneur, Inc. magazine, Forbes, Success, and all the other ones of that nature. It seems as if he can get his content published anywhere on the web, and now it is my pleasure to welcome him to the show. Aaron, thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, what a fantastic introduction, Mark. Thanks so much for having me here, man. This is great.
I really cannot wait to get this started. I know the listeners are going to get a lot out of this one, but what I always ask all the people on my show is I ask them their why. So for you, what exactly got you started as a writer?
Good question to jump things off with. As a writer, so I was an undergraduate English major. I studied creative writing. I've got this really weird backstory. I went to seminary at a graduate school up in Portland, Oregon, was actually in full-time ministry for about 2 years. And then my life fell apart about 4 years ago. I mean, train wreck kind of stuff. And what happened was I found myself in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, having zero idea what I was going to do for work. And that was just a part of the problem. And I'd had this love and knack of writing and had fallen in love with some really great bloggers all through my time in seminary particularly. And I had no other choice. I jumped in with both feet.
It's very interesting that you say that you kind of had no other option, but luckily it was something that you found a lot of joy in, and obviously it's all turned out all right. But when you were definitely, I mean, you're on Inc., Forbes, all these things. I can't even keep track, to be honest.
I should be completely no. So the Forbes thing hasn't happened yet. I'm hustling after that one too. But all the other ones are true. Just for clarity, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I can't keep track, but you're doing a lot of great things still. When you first got started with writing the content, what were you thinking about that path in front of you?
I started the way a lot of people do. You know, I launched a site. I had one originally through Wix, so that was super easy. Then I went over to Squarespace when I started blogging, super low tech. I didn't know what a plugin was or anything like that. I just started putting up content that I was passionate about and particularly followed blogs like Copy Blogger was super instrumental. Copy Hackers, if your listeners don't know those two, unbelievable for not just writing copy in the sales sense and marketing, but especially cutting your teeth with blogging. And so what I discovered was the standard path that I thought was sort of the way forward, which is, okay, blog for 2 years and then hopefully you attract some clients and get things rolling. I had some early contacts with some people that were just fantastically nice to me, that kind of had some big names that they had no business reading my blog. It was like them and my mom. That was it at that point. And they were some people reached out at the right time, and I had enough sense and enough desperation to immediately start turning right around and asking, you know, for contributor spots, putting together full articles, that kind of thing. And then it was really off and running once I got that bug for guest posting, and that's what a lot of my success has been built around.
How exactly would you get the bug for guest posting?
Well, I knew there was some secret to being a nobody, which was painful, and connecting with these folks that I really looked up to, like some of those names I just mentioned, or even like the bigger sites like the Entrepreneurs and the Inks. I knew there had to be some sort of way to get name recognition and social proof and almost sort of game the system in a sense. Like if I could get up on these places, that'll be like that instant social proof that when somebody comes to my site, they're like, ah, he's written for blank and blank. Okay, I'll trust him enough to maybe reach out. And that's what my thought was for clients. And what I found was just through a few simple tweaks in the process that I think a lot of people overlook, it was far easier than I expected to be a nobody and actually get some of those doors opened.
We're going to go more into detail later about the whole process of getting all these people to take your content and publish it on their platforms. But I want to ask you what the low point of your journey was. You mentioned the train wreck that happened to you. I like people to mention these low points because right now when people hear about Aaron, they think, wow, he's been featured in all these different places. He has it so well. But I like to highlight the journey from the starting point to where they are now.
Yeah. Yeah. The absolute low point, not just professionally, but of my life, was that turning point about 4 years ago. And far more had to do with me personally and the great irony of being a seminary graduate and having worked in ministry and still having all this resentment and baggage and this bomb I was building in my life that when you do that, you know, self-centeredness and resentment is not a good recipe for successful living. And it just imploded on me. Now, the great thing about that is it did force this new sort of recreation of what the heck am I going to do? And there's nothing like having a giant question mark over your bank account and where you're going to live. And I'm dead serious. There's nothing like that to jump into something with both feet. But I'll tell you, man, it still happens. Like, I got this great list of places I've written. I get rejected all the time still. It's just the nature of it, you know, that having that thick skin and realizing, like, even though I've written for a place before, it does not guarantee the next one is either going to get in or be a success when it goes up. There's a lot of hard knocks. Man, I'll be super honest with you. So I wrote for Inc., regular column for that first initial 3 month period. And they came back to me just about 2 weeks ago and said, hey, man, thanks. You've done a really great job, but we're going to cancel the column. And that was a giant blow to my ego. That was tough. I didn't want to say anything about it. But it happens. And it doesn't mean, you know, failure in life doesn't mean failure as a human. And the worst thing I can do is revel in that, just sit in that feeling. So I got back up and, man, I had all these articles in the shoot for them, and I've just been hustling to repurpose, to rewrite. I've got them up on other blogs already. Some are in the shoot, just being accepted. And it's just that bounce back. I mean, it's got to be the bounce back, and try your best not to identify yourself with your work.
So you've mentioned getting rejected and having all these question marks over your head. What would your advice be for getting motivated to overcome that? So you have the question mark. How exactly do you power through that? And the same thing with rejection.
The question mark, especially if it's big life things, and I'll give you two honest answers. The first is one day at a time. That's it. When I felt unbelievably overwhelmed with the consequences that suddenly piled up in my life, it was all I could do to just, what is the next right thing? Okay, do that and keep breathing. The sun's going to rise tomorrow. It just is. It's going to come up. So one day at a time, just that next thing that's in front of you. And then the second is, spirituality is still a really big part of my life. And the grace I've experienced from other humans just reflects back to this grace that I get from somebody with a capital S who's taking care of me. that's it on my end.
So getting motivated to power through all the challenges and the rejection, it's very important to have. And obviously it's helped you a lot because you've contributed to all these different places. But I feel like as you contribute to more places, it becomes easier to get more contribution spots. Is that true?
Oh, that's absolutely true. It very much is that snowball effect. Being able to name drop, and these are the places I've been, especially with some of the more successful pieces that did really well on places like social and driving traffic, that's a big deal for future publications, but it doesn't ensure anything. But it does help. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a huge help.
So I do find it, from your standpoint, you have a much easier time than someone who's just getting started and wants to write content for these places. So how exactly did you get your first yes before you were a columnist for the other ones?
Yes. So the first two, I focused on what you might call niche marketing sites. So Marketing Profs and Copy Blogger, which are really big in the online marketing space, I developed genuine human relationships with the people I really admired there. That included going to not just the writers themselves, what they were putting up on those sites, but one dude in particular named Demian, who used to be the chief copywriter for Copy Blogger. I tracked down his personal business site. Turned out he had an uber personal site that he wrote to as well. And I started commenting. I started sharing. I just did everything I could to show this guy, I love your stuff and I'm all about it. And we just developed a relationship on social media from there. The first time I pitched them, I went through the automated process that was on their website. Got a really quick no back, but thanks kind of thing. And so I reached out to this, you know, it was the first ask of, to Demian. And so the beautiful thing is he accidentally sent me the whole email string between him and his editor. Accidentally sent me the whole string, and it all came down to this one question: is Aaron a decent dude that deserves a chance? And luckily Demian said yes, he is.
Wow.
And it didn't come down to like the writing. It was all right. It was good. It was, you know, publishable, but it wasn't anything spectacular. It came down to that. I'll say this then. So the personal relationships is big, and it can't be, you know, if you do it heavy-handedly from the beginning. I dug this guy, and I was all about his stuff, and he could tell, and I really wanted to get to know him, and, you know, that kind of thing. The flip side is the big, first big yes from, like, Entrepreneur. That was the big one I wrote for first on this list. I sent them a complete article that I had used Google Trends to figure out what was the most popular celebrity at the time. I wrote an entrepreneurial guide to domination from that person's perspective. So it was like the Mindy Kaling guide to entrepreneurial domination. Mindy Kaling from the Mindy Project, and she used to be on Office. I was not like a fan of hers, but I knew that's trending. I knew it's got entrepreneur in the title. I could build it short because I knew what their articles looked like. And then I literally went and I tracked down every editor I could find at Entrepreneur that had the word web in their title, and I cold emailed all of them.
Wow. And did, like, you just got one of them to accept you?
Yeah, I got one of them to accept me. They said, we'd like to have you continue writing for us as well. And then my favorite line of all, and when you send pitches in the future, just email me, smiley face.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that a lot of them said no. I mean, I don't even know how many you contacted, but that one, if you get one yes, you're in.
Yep. That's it. And I've done that same process. I basically have had zero success with submissions to websites. You know, like Forbes has an online submission process. Nothing. Every time it's been this process of I write the complete article, I reach out directly to editors, I keep the emails really short, and I just hand them off this piece that's tailor-made for their publication.
And when you hand off this content, do you attach it in a Word file or do you just put it in the Word file?
Attach it as a Word file. I've learned over time, especially, keep my emails as short as I possibly can. When I got into Huffington Post, it was, hi, Ariana, because someone had given me her email address. I have zero idea if it's actually her. I have no idea. But it was, hi, Ariana, just wrapped up a piece, title, let me know if it's a good fit for HuffPo.
Wow.
That was it. And I had pitched them for like a year prior to that, multiple times a month with different articles. And every time I tried doing these, like, hey, I've written for so-and-so, and I'm really cool because of this person over here, and these are the social shares, none of that worked. It was, hi, here's the article. Let me know if it's a good fit. It's attached.
You just revealed a lot of stuff to us, like, in just, like, 2 minutes or whatever it's been. But a lot of people, they're sending different pitches. They're approaching this whole process differently. What do you think is the big mistake people make when they pitch themselves to the entrepreneurs, the Inks, the success magazines of the world?
Three things. Number one, you've got to get a feel for, is this an ongoing contributor spot or is it a one-off acceptance kind of publication? Entrepreneur Inc., Fast Company, Business Insider, those are all one-offs. You can send it to them. They don't expect anything week over week. I know Forbes and Inc. are week over week, so the onboarding process is a lot longer. So there's no point in trying to pitch one-off articles for the most part if they have like a lock of set writers that they use. That's where you've really got to try to work those angles and connections and send pitches knowing these two different kind of models. And you can find that out with Google searches really easily. When you are pitching one-off articles, do not send pitches. Send articles. I don't think I've had one piece of success where I sent somebody a, here's a list of 10 awesome ideas or headlines and had them say, yes, write this one up. Because that's work for the editor. That's work for them. You're sending them a homework assignment is what you're doing. When you hand somebody, knowing that they do one-off writing pieces, a complete article, that just filled one of their quotas for the day, if it's good enough. And that's helping them. It's not giving them more things to do. So know the difference between those two is a big one. Second, send full articles whenever you can. And then number three is just that whole idea of keep it short and expect rejection.
It's interesting that you mentioned that approach to contacting the editor, because normally I think that if you get into one of them, you say, I've had my content featured here, and this is what I want to have featured on your place. So you mentioned earlier about the kind of snowball effect. Is there a way to create more opportunities out of the contributions you've already done, or in some cases it doesn't really matter?
No, there is. And the way that works is, like for example, if you do end up getting on a place like an Entrepreneur, or a lot of these places, they, after about a day, sometimes a month, will republish that piece on a different site. And so setting up something like Google Alerts or TalkWalker Alerts, so your name, you know, you get an email whenever your name is mentioned somewhere, it's really smart. Because what I immediately do whenever somebody republishes a piece of mine is I find the editor at that publication, and then I'm right on top of it with a brand new fresh article because they've just posted something of my own there. So that's the best way to snowball it, is know where it pops up and keep an eye on where stuff is getting published once it goes somewhere in the first place. I'm doing this with Fox News right now because they've republished a bunch of my stuff. I'm doing it with Fortune.com right now because they just posted one of my first pieces. Whenever it gets picked up, I'm on it with a fresh new brand, full article, right from the jump.
So just to estimate, what's the percentage of your articles do you think that you wrote on these sites, and then what is the percentage that, let's say, someone republished?
It depends on the site, but pretty much any place that's like a domain authority of above 90, so the big hitters, they republish like crazy. Inc's the only one I think that doesn't do it, but you can almost guarantee if it's a Business Insider, Fast Company, Entrepreneur, any of those, it's going to show up some other places real soon.
Interesting. So this snowball effect is all based on your ability to get the content on the first big site. So how exactly do you write content that gets approved?
Okay, I'm gonna reveal some free secrets here.
I'm ready.
All right. My research process involves two tools. One is Google Trends. I got into Entrepreneur with Mindy Kaling because she was super popular. I got into the Next Web because J.J. Abrams was trending, and I wrote the J.J. Abrams Guide to Intelligent Online Business. I've done this with Success.com, and Jimmy Fallon was really popular because he just took over The Tonight Show, I think. So I did like a Jimmy Fallon Guide to Customer Love. And I was just walking another person through this the other day. And we went to Google Trends. We found out that Lady Gaga is trending a ton right now because of what she just revealed about her post-traumatic stress and dealing with that in her life. And we just walked through, dude, if you want to write for Entrepreneur, there it is. Like, how to deal with stress the way Mother Monster does. And then it's a piece all about like Lady Gaga and how she deals with stress and the one-for-one of how you can apply that to your own life and business. It's really low-hanging fruit, and it's just a matter of what celebrity, what topics are trending right now, and then creating something kind of unique and kitsch based off of that. The other tip or tool I use is BuzzSumo, which you can use for free for a certain number of searches every day. You go to BuzzSumo, plug Forbes.com into their little search bar, and it'll tell you, here are the top social media shared posts at Forbes.com over the last year. And again, I'm doing the same thing. I'm looking for commonalities. This is how I got up onto lifehacker.com. I really wanted to write for them because especially that writer in me, lifehacker.com, is like a legit, they've, you know, 1,000+ word articles. Turned out Forbes.com, most popular article of the year, was about etiquette, basically showing up on time. They had like 500,000 shares about this article, show up on time, show up early. So I turned right around and I did the 10 commandments of online etiquette. And I knew because, okay, this is killing it on Forbes. I'm going to turn right around to Lifehacker, similar audience. I can make it work there too. So I'm never inventing or creating these concepts. I'm just figuring out what's already popular, what's already working there, and then making it creative and fit that publication.
That was powerful.
Thanks, yeah.
I mean, it just feels so much simpler now, the way you explained it like that.
Yeah. I don't know how I stumbled into these things, but yeah, work smarter, not harder. Yeah.
So you mentioned that your content will occasionally get republished. Is this entirely at the discretion of the other websites, or is there a way that you play a part in increasing the amount of times your articles get republished?
No, it's totally at their discretion. Some of it appears very automatic when it goes up certain places because I can always count on certain articles getting like 24 hours later. I know they're going up. It's just at whatever deals those publishers have with each other.
So you've had quite the journey so far. And if we didn't know anything, it would seem like you've had to do this for like 10 years to achieve like the type of status you've achieved. I mean, it's incredible. All the articles you've been able to write, all the places that they've appeared. So I ask you, through this entire journey, what is the best lesson you have learned?
Oh, this is a good question. The best lesson. I got a little mantra that I say to myself every time I submit a post, pitch a client, you know, anytime, you know, my finger's hovering over that send button and the nerves are coming on. And it sounds counterintuitive at first, but what I tell myself is, let's get rejected. And then I go ahead and fire it off. That's to anticipate that fear and make rejection the goal makes me the kind of person that I want to be, which is the kind of person that freaking tries, that goes out there and does stuff. I know of no better. And it's sometimes it's bitter medicine because it never feels good when that's what comes back. But I just keep making that's the goal. And so when I get that door slammed in my face, it's all right, pick it back up. Let's take this piece, rework the lessons from it, and I'm right on to the next thing, usually with that same piece. I've had like two or three pieces over the last 2-3 years when I really started doing this that ended up going nowhere, and that is it. Because just because one person says no does not mean you can't tweak it or even just pick it up and send it to someone else and they love it.
That's pretty good advice. So there are intrapreneurs right now who are listening to this, and they have a breakthrough that they want to hit. Some of them, it would be achieving your level of success. For others, it would be creating a course, writing a book, all these different things. What advice do you have for the listeners who they have this breakthrough and they're trying to reach it as soon as possible?
There are always steps you can skip, especially when it comes to after you've built the thing. And some of these steps I'm just starting to discover because I'm about to launch my own first course have a lot to do with the way you market it and spend money, the way especially on Facebook and social media, because there's still a lot of low-hanging fruit when it comes to the most bang for your buck there. But so next to like the whole thick skin thing, the best breakthrough I've ever had has always been connected to other human beings. Developing relationships, giving before I try to get. I mean, you and I connected because I asked you to contribute to a piece I was writing, and I'm really hoping to see that one go up soon. You know, and that's like I didn't turn around and ask you to like be on the podcast or hey, can you promote this for me? But if you give good things come back. I mean, it sounds so cliche, but it is. And so you just, man, if you're a decent person, like that email that got me onto Copyblogger for the first time, a decent person that deserves a chance, you know, love some folks, give freely, Include people, be active on sharing other people's stuff. A little goes a long way.
Aaron, you've revealed a lot of great insights for us, and you've got a lot of exciting things you're working on right now. You seem like a really motivated person. So I'm just curious, what is one awesome inspirational quote you can think of right now?
I'm a writer, so I'm going to give you a writing quote.
Go for it.
There's a dude named R.C. Sproul that I'm sure none of your listeners have ever heard of. He's a theologian, so this is a throwback to Aaron Orndorff's previous life. He once said that simplification without distortion is the highest form of scholarship. Simplification without distortion is the highest form of scholarship. And that is one of the tests I bring to my writing. In blogging, on landing pages, when I'm writing somebody's homepage, if I'm writing a sales copy or a product description, how can I simplify this without distorting it? Because anybody can write, you know, a 30-page long scrollable landing page product description kind of thing, or even like a blog post. It's easier to write a 2,000-plus word blog post than it is to boil that thing down to 1,000 or less words that is all gold. So to simplify without distorting something, that highest form of scholarship, that to me is the aim, especially when you're writing online where people have short attention spans and you have to deliver value quickly.
I really like that quote. I mean, I'm not sure if I'll hear from another guest because it's one of those quotes that, I mean, you would know because you studied the topic, but I mean, it's such a great quote. And that whole idea of condensing the same article, conveying the same ideas in fewer words.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always about word count necessarily. It's always about providing the value to the reader.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Aaron, I'm very appreciative of all the time you have spent on this podcast. So I'm going to give you the floor right now. Let us know where we can find you on the web.
You should Google Aaron Orndorff, spelled totally phonetically, or you can go to iconiccontent.com. Hopefully we'll throw that up in the show notes, because here's my last free piece of advice. When you're naming your company, go for clarity, not being clever. So it's spelled funny, and I have been paying that price ever since. But it's iconiccontent.com. We'll add that into the notes. You can be able to find me by Googling that super easy. I am low-hanging fruit. When it comes to Twitter and Facebook, it does not take much to make me smile. So you can track me down on those two either, and even just direct tweets to me. I try my best to respond to everything, and especially if you're sharing something of mine, showing me some love, I'd love to show you some love back.
Aaron, it's been such a pleasure to interview you. You've revealed some really deep insights about this. I know my listeners are really going to appreciate this advice. Aaron, thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. The insights were so powerful that I felt like I hacked into a secret training course on how to become a contributor for anyone. Speaking of training courses, Aaron's guest blogging course will show you exactly how to achieve these results and more with advanced tactics. I mean, advanced tactics from what we have already just heard. I'll let that soak in. If you forgot to take notes, or you want the link to that course, then don't worry. We've got you covered with the show notes. Visit marketbirdie.com/E20 for those. You can ask your questions over there, which I'll be more than happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgaberti.com/iTunes or markgaberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgaberti.com/retweet. This podcast is a production done by Mark Gaberti. For more insights, head on over to markgaberti.com.